Blog Talk Radio.
Tabernacle Church. Again, I'm your pastor, Dr. Pastor Ken, and we have Tony F. standing by. Okay, he's going to give us the opening prayer.
Be blessed this day, this Easter Sunday, but remember that he died for your sins so you may live in light and peace, knowing you are loved by him always. Open hearts and minds today. Listen and enjoy his work as it is read by Ken. May Ken's voice ring loud and clear, and may it bring peace to your hearts.
Amen, amen. All right. Well, let's get into some music here, okay? All righty. Let's do some praise and worship service before the actual service. Here we go.
You couldn't see me through the pain.
Now you won't see through broken lenses. Try to keep your head above the shame. You believe the lie that I am distant, but I hold you every day. Yeah, I hold you every day. If you could see through my eyes, you know that you are wanted. You know that you are wanted. And if you read my love inside, I'll tell you that you wanted. I'll tell you that you wanted. Darkest moment, you're defined by what I see. You manifest, you're my treasure, you're my heartbeat. Oh, sound, you belong to me. No,
Thank you. Many broken nights, felt like it was the end. All of the looking fights, knocking me down again. But it was in the fourth beat, I found my faith. It was in my weakness, I found my strength. So I'm not afraid, put my heart to the fire. I won't be burned, it's only making me stronger. Even if it hurts, so do whatever it takes. I know that I will be changed when I walk through the fire. I'm coming out of fire. my feet, telling me hope is dead, but still I'm standing here. As long as this blood flows through my veins, you said I won't break under this pain. So what I'm afraid, pour my heart through the fire. I won't be burned, it's only making me stronger. Even if it hurts, so I'll do whatever it takes. I know that I won't be changed when I walk through the fire.
One more song, and we're gonna get them. We're gonna get into this in the sermon.
I'm captivated, I say it. I'm on a whole new street. My space invaded, afraid it. I hear you talking to me. It's in the boom of the thunder. It's in the cool of the wind. And they say, I don't ever want to get away. Tonight is beautiful. It's got my mind on you. And everywhere I turn is a reminder. I see you in heaven. No matter where I go, I know you.
Amen. All righty. Well, let's get into the sermon. Okay. All righty. It's called Empty at Easter. And it's been taken from scriptures of Mark chapter 15, verse 42 through to chapter 16, verse 8. So let's get with an opening prayer for the service. Dear Father in heaven, grant that we may come into your presence as your children. Okay, give to us all that we need each day, Lord, so that we are no longer caught in the turmoil of life, but can receive your peace, Lord. For your care for us as your children, and we can go confidently through all the troubles of these times, because our way leads to you, Lord, the eternal Father in heaven. Keep us from going astray and from spending our efforts, okay, on what's temporal and cannot last, Lord. Let your light strengthen us in what is of heaven and what is of eternally true for our lives. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is risen. What a message, right? Easter is Resurrection Day. Can you imagine what the first day was like as the buzz of the excitement filled the air? It was obvious that something unusual had taken place, yet no one seemed to have a handle on it. There was a flurry of activity from varied people who were too afraid to be seen or heard after the violent activities of the week. Surely something had happened, but what was it? The celebration of the resurrection has continued for all these years because despite of all the concerted efforts to disprove it, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead stands because it has withstood the scrutiny of one investigation after another. Secular professors of history and archaeology who have set out to disprove the fact of the resurrection have come away with clear testimony that history is an ally of the resurrection. Think about it. In the terms of today, Jesus was dead, he was buried, and now risen from the dead. I submit that if Christ can rise from the dead, you and I can trust him with the problems of our lives. So you see, when we think of Easter, we think of things being full. First, most of Easter baskets, okay, were full this morning. Next, church buildings all over a large crowd than normal. Then the choir is filled. Music is full. Lunch will fill our stomachs. And many houses will be filled with our earthly family. It's a day of being filled. Yet Easter also brings with it some things that are empty. When we hear the word empty, we think of something that is lacking, like gas tank, okay, plate, okay, bank account, class, etc., or something that is without. So today, let's consider the subject of being empty at Easter, and let's do it in two slices. The first Easter in our text, we discover that, as we have already mentioned, the day seemed to have an unusual air about it. The ladies were up before dawn, headed to the grave. I can only imagine the emptiness they felt as they journeyed toward the tomb of their beloved Jesus. Hearts were filled with love for this one they had called the Lord. We're now broken until all that flowed out was hurt, anguish, and pain. Now as the sun rose and they journeyed toward the tomb, think about all they saw. An empty cross. As they headed toward the grave of Jesus, quite likely daylight began to break as they walked past the place of the crucifixion. It was located on the hillside, in my mind's eye on the right side, called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. This was an ominous-looking place, as the hill resembled as a skull. As they looked on the hill, quite likely there were those three crosses still in place, well, at least the staves of the perpendicular pole. The picture served as a reminder of the events 3 days earlier, and possibly their tears began to flow once again. Yet the cross is empty, reminds you and me that the wages of sin is death, and that without the shedding of blood, there is not forgiveness of sin. And that when we were sinners, Christ died for us. He died in my place. The cross is empty because Jesus died. Can you see the empty cross? The cross that was filled with God's own Son who came to die in my place was empty that first Easter morning. But that's not all. Let's follow the ladies. Perhaps the tears flowed as they looked at the cross and remembered the violent events of the 3 days earlier. Fresh tears began to flow down their cheeks at the thought of it. They were so focused on taking care of Jesus, it seems that they had forgotten that to anoint him for burial, they had to deal with the 2-ton boulder covering the entrance. Empty grave. When they arrived, what did they discover? Okay, it was nothing shy of amazing. Matthew's account gives us the impression that they felt the earthquake and almost saw the stone roll away, while the other three accounts agree that the stone was rolled away when they were at the tomb. Can you really imagine the emotions going through their minds first when they saw the stone was rolled away? How about the going inside the cave part or seeing a young man in a long white robe and hearing him speak? Is anybody spooked yet? Years ago, I worked in a funeral home. Okay, people didn't normally walk into an open grave, and they walk up to that grave with caution. But none of these truths are the big tamale. The deal is Jesus was gone. The young man said he is not here. For those who are skeptics, consider this. Had Jesus not been alive, someone would have told the truth. The soldiers would have spilled the beans when they talked to religious leaders. The Roman government and the religious leaders would have produced the body when the rumor got out that Jesus was alive. The disciples would have told the truth when they were being tortured and killed. Yet witnesses' testimony and historical evidence points to the truth that Jesus is alive, the grave is empty, and death has been defeated. When I think of the verse which says, O death, where is your sting, and grave, where is your victory? I am reminded that our Lord has won the war as the winner. He transfers the victory to us when we come to him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and following says, Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture, was buried, and was raised on the third day. Up from the grave he arose, and with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose, and the grave is empty, and because the grave, we have risen to rejoice. Now let's look at empty clothes. It is John alone who says, we saw his clothes lying there. Why was it that John thought that's important? We really don't know, but this may suggest that Jesus left his earthly clothes empty because he left his earthly struggles behind. Perhaps he took off his burial clothes like one day his children will discard this fleshly body. When I see those grave clothes, I am reminded of the shell which the body of Jesus was placed in and reminded that these bodies are but bars of clay which will one day be gone. Almost every week we either have someone or know of a family dealing with physical death or of a loved one. This old body has given out and was used up. So Jesus' clothes were used up. He was ready for something better. In his case, he was returning to the Heavenly Father and home. For us, it is different. The pictures of the empty cross, tomb, and clothes serve as a reminder that God can take tragedy and turn it into triumph. He did it that first Easter and will do it again for you and me on the final Easter. Consider this question. What if today was your final Easter? Okay, it could be exactly that. Many years ago, my wife and I had fairly healthy parents. Today, half of them have left this world. Some will say, but they were older. However, almost every week we hear stories of young people being sick unto death. No one is guaranteed tomorrow. Candidly, there is not one prophecy which stands in the way of Jesus' return. Any minute the trumpet call of God could sound. What if it were today? You see, Jesus didn't die on the cross for our sins. He didn't simply come back to life from the dead to make us right before the Father. It was no simple matter to ascend before 500 into heaven, where he is set down on the right hand of the Father. He is the Father's strong right hand. One day he will split the sky to call only those who know him home. The call of our Lord for his redeemed children to come home is called the Midnight Cry, based on the story of the virgins in Matthew 25. The scripture says, but all the midnight or in the middle of the night, the cry went out, the bridegroom is here, come out to meet him. And the foolish virgins were not ready. Their lamps were empty, and they missed their opportunity. Okay, when I think of those empty lamps needing oil, I'm reminded of the emptiness of the humankind. An empty life. We live in an age of extreme business. Possibly not one person in this room needs one more meeting to attend, one more job to do, or more activity to take part in. Our lives are arguably overloaded. While our schedules remain full, our lives can feel empty. All it takes for us to feel empty is to not have an ultimate purpose in life. See, Jesus came to give life purpose and meaning. Yet today, many lives are empty. We see this played out repeated by those who we consider celebrities, those that have more material possessions than anyone needs, bank accounts in the 7-8 figures, and structures which temporarily houses a present marriage. I suspect they would give all their houses for a home. When we receive the grace of Jesus, he becomes our ally in making our house a home. He gives our life meaning, purpose, direction, and even fulfillment. Let's look at an empty hope. For those who believe the world will get better just because we are good people might care to take stock of where we are in America. Not long ago, I heard Jerry Springer say, for the first time in America, we are not leaving the generation coming with a better country than we inherited. What kind of hope does this leave for our children? To place our faith in our government, our money, or our retirement account is to build our lives on the sinking sand of uncertainty. The results of no hope are written in the alarming statistic that over 33,000 people in the U.S. die at their own hands. There is nothing more devastating than to place all your hope in something only to discover that it's flawed. An empty hope is different than destroy or no hope. Additionally, if we place hope in Jesus only in this life, we are to be pitied. At least that what the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You see, an empty heart, man was created with a need for God in our heart. The Bible tells us that whatever in our hearts comes out in our words, our actions, or even our lives. That is completely different than the philosophy of our culture, which states no one can know what is in the other heart. Okay, the heart is considered the center of who I am. This is why Romans 10 tells us that we must believe in our heart, and a heart without Jesus is like a tea pitcher without tea, a cup of coffee without the coffee, a cake plate without a cake. All three of these can be used for other things, but that is not what they're designed for. Our heart can be filled with many other things, but in a larger scheme of things, it will never be fully satisfied until it's filled with the presence of the Creator, God. In this life, in this live and let live, in my way, really doesn't matter. I don't care. It's all about me culture is in which we live. I fear that there are many people who can be equated with those foolish virgins. They are sitting around waiting and believing that when the Lord comes, he will see the things their way. Candidly, we call this to see things his way. What is his way? What does Jesus tell us we are must go? He gives this to us in a simple way found in John 3:16. His name was Philip. He never felt like he belonged. He wasn't pleasant enough, but looked a bit different and sometimes seemed unusual to the 8-year-old classmates in his Sunday school class. Several weeks before Easter, Philip's teacher introduced a special project. He gave every member a plastic egg, that kind of pantyhose used to come in. He explained that each child was to go outside, find a symbol for new life, and put it into the egg. Enthusiastically, the class responded. Back into the classroom, the eggs were opened one at a time with each child explaining the meaning of the symbol. And the first egg was a pretty flower, and the next a beautiful butterfly, while green grass was in a third. The child oohed and awed. Another was a rock, which prompted loud laughter. Finally, the last egg was opened. There was nothing. That's stupid, said one child. Another grumbled. Someone didn't do it right. the teacher felt a tug on his shirt. It was Philip, who said, "That's mine. I did do it right. It's empty because the tomb was empty." There was an unusual, thoughtful silence, and strangely, from that time on, Philip was accepted as part of the group. Philip continued to struggle with many physical problems. That summer, he picked up an infection which most children would easily have shaken off, but Philip's weak body couldn't, and a few weeks later, he died. At his funeral, 9 8-year-olds with their teacher brought the symbol of remembrance and placed it near his coffin. Their unusual gift of love to Philip wasn't flowers. It was an empty egg. Now a symbol to them of new life and hope. It was Philip, a different child, who had helped his friends see the wonderful hope in the message of Easter. Amen. So let us pray. Our great God, still hidden and yet so evident and near, we thank you that you are at work in us before we think of asking. Lord, we thank you that you hold us by the hand and lead us before we are aware of it, Lord. Stay with us in this way and awaken our hearts at the right moment, Lord, that we are not surprised by the painful things we experience, but can always be prepared to watch and pray, Lord, trusting that we are not forsaken in the constant strife on this earth, Lord. Grant us hope, O God, that the time is coming when all people will hear the proclamation, see a new heaven and a new earth, because you have learned to see God's honor in everything. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this brings us to the invitation. The most important question of all is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you do not, that is okay, because you will get a chance to in just a few moments. Well, let me ask you, are you tired of walking through life empty, broken, not knowing which way is up or down? Are you lost, okay, but needing to be found? Or maybe you're suffering from depression or some sort of anxiety. Or maybe you're suffering from something like an addiction as to alcohol or drugs or sexual immorality or gambling or overeating. Whatever it may be, you see, the Lord can take that away. But in order to do so, guess what, folks? He's got to know you. In order for him to know you, you've got to accept him in your heart. So I ask you, are you ready to accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart tonight, this evening? If so, say this little simple prayer after me. Say, "Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation, and I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth." Excuse me. "I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and then rose from the dead on the third day. So I want to say once again, thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior." And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you said this prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministries want to welcome you into the family of the Lord. And we want to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. Amen. Well, if you said this prayer, we would like you to call in, okay, to area code 657-383-1487. Okay, let me repeat that. Call in to area code 657-383-1487 and press the 1 key and tell us that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ tonight as your personal Lord and Savior. Okay? Okay, one person calling can trickle 10. 10 can trickle 100. 100 can trickle 1,000. So be that first caller and say that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And because right now, the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, okay, all his angels and everyone in heaven is rejoicing that you accepted the Lord tonight. Okay? So won't you let us rejoice with them? Amen. Well, I'm gonna play a song, okay, that's only fitting, okay, for an altar call, okay. Okay, here we go. Okay, here we go. Thank you. Coming to the closing of our service, okay? And I'm going to get Tony F. over here to give us a closing prayer, okay?
Well, y'all, till our paths cross again, may your lives be filled with joy and peace, lots of love, knowing that you are cared for, you are needed. So peace be yours in your heart and mind, y'all, until we meet again. Bye.
Amen. Amen. Well, we just want to remind everybody that, okay, we take tomorrow off. It's Monday. And, okay, because that is our Sabbath day. We take Monday as our Sabbath day. And we will be back on broadcasting Tuesday night at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, okay, for another episode of Purpose Gospel Radio. We hope to see you all there, okay? And I want to say thank you, okay, to everybody that's in the chat room. I want to say thank you to everybody that's listening on the link. And thank you to the person that called in and is listening to this live, okay? So God bless, and may you have the great Easter, the rest of it. Okay, I'm glad you joined me this Easter Sunday. Okay, and so be blessed. Okay, and good night, everybody, until we meet again. Bye-bye.